And this is KUAR 89.1, still waiting for Governor Asa Hutchinson to begin his daily briefing. At yesterday's press conference, he announced a report by the Marshall Project showing that Arkansas had the fifth highest rate of prison deaths per capita in the country. And he acknowledged that has been an ongoing problem. Chico County in southeast Arkansas in particular saw the highest number of new cases reported yesterday, with 152 residents there testing positive, largely due to the outbreak at the correctional facility there. Pulaski County saw 82 cases, and now it looks like Governor Hutchinson is walking into the governor's conference room at the state capitol. This is KUAR 89.1.
Good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for joining me for today's COVID-19 daily update. I am joined by Dr. Jose Romero, Interim Secretary of the Department of Health. I'm also joined today by Dr. Joe Thompson, who is CEO of ACHI. And he has partnered with the Department of Health and led the effort in providing city-level data, which we will cover today as he releases that new information. First, I want to express my appreciation to the National Guard. They have been of great assistance to us all the way through this public emergency. And currently we did have 28 National Guard personnel assisting both Washington Regional Medical Center and other facilities. Today, I'm authorizing an additional 14 National Guard to assist the Department of Health in operational support, and I appreciate their continued support and help during this statewide emergency. In terms of cases, we have an additional 791 cases. And as you'll know, yesterday was 787, so we've been really just right there at that same mark day after day, it seems like, which is good if it's not going up, it's flattening, but of course we'd like to see it go the opposite direction. It is good news that we have four fewer hospitalizations, so it's down to 504 as the number of Arkansans hospitalized. We have eight additional deaths, which brings us to 442, and that's a sad note. In terms of the 791 new cases, that brings us to total cumulative cases 41,559. As Dr. Romero will point out, the ventilator use is down by seven, and so we have 101 on ventilators. The active case is 6,580. In terms of testing, we have tested 5,598, which has been consistent, a little higher than yesterday's numbers. The top counties that have contributed new cases is Pulaski County, 73, Sebastian County, 57, Benton County, 47, Garland County, 44, Washington County, 37, Independence County, 34, Jefferson, 31, Pope, 30, Craighead, 29, Mississippi County, 23, and Faulkner County, 21. Let's go to the slides, and let's look at it from our usual graphic way. And again, you can see the flattening out. You can also see that we continue to have a few in correctionals, the white. If you go to the next slide, you'll see the rolling average, a seven-day rolling average, which indicates our trend lines. And it's, you know, over the last six, 7 days been fairly flat, but we'd like to have it flat at a lower level, which means you got to go down. Number of active cases, this is a little bit brighter spot because we reached over 7,000 cases in active, and that's down to closer to 6,800 cases that are active, actually 6,580. So that's a significant drop in the active cases. Then the number of hospitalized is flattened out as well. but we continue to watch that. And then the 7-day rolling average of positivity is right below 10%. We want to get that down, which means you've got to test more. You've got to stop the spread. That's a key indicator, and we'd like to see that go down some more. And then if you'll look at the number of tests that we've done, I like to show this because it shows where what's happening with our tests, who's doing the test out there. And again, UAMS is the orange at the bottom. The white is the Department of Health, and then the red is the commercial lab. And you can see that the commercial lab actually went up from yesterday anyway, so that was encouraging, and that's one of the reasons we have a higher number of cases, or tests, excuse me. And then we did reach 180,000 mark, which means it's 6% of the population in Arkansas that we've tested this month. And that's a high watermark. It is very successful. And yes, I know we said in a cocky moment that we're going to do 200,000 tests. We still have 2 days. It'll be close, but might not make that goal. But that's where we are right now. Now, this is new, and I mentioned this yesterday in my briefing, that we are looking at doing and tabulating more information on antigen testing. Now, antigen testing is different than the PCR test that we keep track of and that we report every day. And the antigen testing that is being done could be at a pharmacy. It could be at a clinic somewhere that has a point of care testing machine, and that will give you a test within minutes. And that's the advantage of the antigen test. And I was looking for my number here. There it is. So the antigen tests that have been done since June 11th is 5,084. 5,084 antigen tests that have been done since June. Now, you can see from the graph here that of the 5,084 tests that were done, we had 548, which is in the blue, that were positive. The negative, of course, is the larger orange slide, and then you had 30 that were inconclusive. And so the percent positivity was 11% there that we've had. Now, those are presumptive positive, and that's important. They're not considered positive tests that go into the system that we count for every day. Whenever it's a presumptive test, then they're sent to the Department of Health lab or to a commercial lab to actually have a PCR test done, and if it's confirmed positive, then it goes into the system. And so all of these positive cases that were presumed positive, if they were confirmed positive, then went into the system that we've been accounting for. But it does actually reflect that we've done a little bit more testing, 5,000 more tests than what we have shown, which is a good thing. And we want to increase the number of antigen tests that we're doing in Arkansas. It has about a 95% rate of accuracy, so it's not as high as a PCR test, but it is very convenient to have a quick turnaround on it to let the person know where they are and whether they ought to get a test or whether they're negative, and then they can go back. And this will be helpful as we go into school. We want to get these antigen test equipment out so it's more available for a quick turnaround. I think this will be a useful tool for us. And then if you go, and this just reflects some of the challenges, these are the ones that are received electronically, which is the whole circle, which is about, what is that, about 2,000 of them are received electronically. And then if you go to the next slide, this is the number that is received by fax machine, which is over 3,000. And so faxes are not, that's got to be hand put into the system. We want to move to electronic. That takes the cooperation of everybody, but we're hopefully going to streamline that to a greater extent in the future. And so with that, let me ask Dr. Romero, and he will have an announcement to make. that should be well received by our hospital community particularly, and then Dr. Thompson to look at some of the city data. I might come back and make a comment on that after he presents that.
And this is Acting Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero. You're listening to KYR 89.1.
Thank you, Governor. So I will repeat some of the numbers the governor gave you and give you greater detail in them. So new cases, as mentioned before, were 791. That is comprised of 32 community and 759 correctional cases. Our hospitalized patients, as mentioned, 504. This is a decrease of 4 patients from yesterday. Individuals on a ventilator decreased by 7 to 101. The deaths have been mentioned as an increase of 8 to 442. Our recovered patients to date are 34,737. This is an increase of nearly 800 from yesterday. Active cases, 6,580. And this is comprised of 77 nursing home cases, 319 correctional cases, and 6,184 community cases. The testing, as was mentioned by the governor, total testing on the 29th was 5,598, with the Arkansas Department of Health contributing 1,120. Commercial private laboratories, 4,051, and UAMS, 427. That summarizes the numbers today. So we'd like to announce that we previously had a directive that all individuals undergoing elective surgery have pre-surgical COVID testing. This was to ensure the safety of the individual undergoing surgery and also to prevent the transmission of COVID within the institutions. Based on a retrospective analysis of the number of tests that were done and the number of positives that were encountered, which was a very small percentage, a decision was made to leave that decision up to the individual physician and institution. So the directive to perform the requirement of pre-surgical COVID testing will be eliminated. We think that it is prudent in some cases, because of the prevalence of the disease in the community, that physicians still consider testing their patients before surgery. Institutions in surgery and individual surgeons can make that decision with their patients. So thank you very much. I will now turn it over to Dr. Thompson.
This is Dr. Joe Thompson, former Surgeon General of Arkansas.
Thank you, Governor.
With the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement.
Our team at ACOS support your efforts, and we look forward to continuing to contribute in any way that we can. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we released county or city level cumulative cases for the year. We updated that earlier this week. Today, we will be putting on active cases at the city level on our website at achi.net. We have over 100 communities that we will list the number of actively infected individuals that are in those communities. These are people that are potentially infectious or symptomatic isolation. Obviously, the largest community is that here in Little Rock because of the population base. We are working to denominate this so that communities could have a rate in the future to actually be able to track a trend line at the community level. We're not there yet, but that will be forthcoming in the next week or two. We think this is important. I was on a phone call with the Municipal League and its membership this morning. Those local leaders need information that they can put into action to make sure that their citizenry knows that this COVID virus is in their community. In addition to the 100 communities plus that we're going to actually name and provide a number, there are another 400 that we will list that have at least one COVID positive case. So that puts us at 500 communities across the state with active COVID disease in their community. That is virtually every community in the state. So this is a real issue. It's a broad issue. It's a spreading issue. And I would ask every local leader, faith-based, community-based, family-based, to take it seriously and to do the three things we know work. Wash our hands, keep our distance, and wear a facial covering. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson. And so everyone knows, I received this data shortly before we came to this meeting. Dr. Thompson provided it to me. And I did a quick glance on the top 10 cities in terms of the number of active cases that they have. As Dr. Thompson pointed out, of course, Little Rock with its population base has the largest with 495. Then it goes to Springdale, another center of population, 421. Fort Smith, 348 active cases. And then it goes down to Jonesboro, 189. Rogers, 185. Pine Bluff, 168. Russellville, where we were yesterday, have 166, which is interesting that Russellville actually has 166 cases and Fayetteville has 136 cases. So it's sometimes you look at the city level data and you learn a lot as to what's happening in the community in terms of their spread, and it should cause everybody to be more mindful and should be information that should be helpful to them. With that, we'll take any questions.
Governor, yesterday with the outbreak at the Delta Regional Unit, you provided numbers in the afternoon saying 145 people would test positive. A couple hours later, the Department of Corrections only seemed aware of 90 cases. They later updated that. But is there, are you concerned about any lag in information if you're getting numbers before people at the staff level who can actually, you know, start to quarantine inmates and move them around are getting numbers?
Well, and I'll invite Dr. Romero if he has information on that, but I just saw that there we had more current information. That information we indicated was transparent with the public on what we showed. Simultaneously, I presume that that's provided to the institution. So whoever responded might not have had that, but I think there's been a very close partnership with them. If we need to tighten that up, we can, but Dr. Romero, do you have anything else on that? Yes.
Regarding the elective surgeries, can you tell us how many positive cases were identified through testing those patients, and if you're still recommending that most physicians go through these tests?
Well, it would be up to the institution, not directed. Obviously, it is an extra precaution, but we do have the percent. The percent was very, very low. Do you have that?
The number was far less than 1%.
Yeah. So the percent positive was far less than 1%. And as you can see from what we have statewide, that is very minuscule. And so for the reason that it was clogging up the system, it was taking a lot of testing capacity, we wanted to leave that discretion to the hospital or clinic. Yes, Leslie.
I wanted to go off the COVID subject for just a second and ask about the fraud cases for regular unemployment insurance that we are hearing about that's fairly widespread, and wanted to know what you know about it and whether it might be a breach in the teacher retirement system. What do you know about that?
Well, first of all, I don't know of any connection with the teacher retirement system that you mentioned. In terms of the unemployment and the pandemic unemployment assistance,
it's a separate thing.
Right. If you just look at the unemployment assistance, we are aware nationally as to the potential for fraud there and the fraud incidences that have increased. We're on guard about that, and we're trying to exercise the precautions. I had a conversation yesterday with Secretary Preston about the fraud issues, both in processing those that are being held because of potential fraud, but we want to get those out that are legitimate and having a way to get that done, but at the same time, not turning a blind eye to potential fraud there that we need to stop. And so they're working on that system to process those, and they're very aware of that potential for fraud and are trying to take steps against that.
FBI involved?
I will let Secretary Preston probably needs to answer that specifically so you can address that to them. And it would be on a case-by-case basis. If there's indications of fraud, that could be turned over to the FBI.
Governor, would you almost recommend Arkansans to maybe take that antigen test before getting the PCR test now, especially if you're asymptomatic, to maybe kind of, you know, kind of twofold, you know? it's a more rapid test, and then also to maybe take a little bit of the strain off the PCR backlogging?
We want to encourage it. We want people to be comfortable with it, understand it. Pharmacies have been a good partner in making that available in their clinics. It does cost. That's an issue that they have to address, and we'll look at it as well. But yes, we want to be able to encourage that both and understand it. I want the public to understand the distinction between that antigen point of care test and what we do as the PCR test that goes to the commercial labs of the Department of Health. And once they understand it, it should be a good tool that they can utilize. You don't have to worry about waiting around for 2 days for the test results. You get it immediately or very quickly anyway. And you don't have to worry about going in there and have to wait 2 days. You'd be negative, but you've had to isolate during that time. And so, obviously, that is a good solution for busy people who want to, but have a reason for concern that wants that test.
But then you encourage people to get that PCR if the antigen turns up positive.
If you're positive on the antigen test, it is a presumed positive, and then absolutely you would need to go get the regular PCR test. I could not tell you now.
I don't have the commercial
number. You mentioned yesterday some of the cities up there in the River Valley are seeing higher than forecasted sales tax collections. Is that something you're seeing statewide, or is it just more in the bigger population centers of the state?
Actually, I've seen that statewide. I do believe that it's the rural areas that get hit most on that. It is the stimulus payments that came in that people spent money, boosted our local businesses. Then you also have the online sales that are being done that they get a benefit of. So I'm actually very encouraged. Whereas nationally you see a contraction of the economy in Arkansas, we've seen some contraction. We'll continue to watch it, but we're meeting both locally and the state, our sales tax expectations right now.
The president of the Arkansas Football Coaches Association put out a statement saying they feel ready to go ahead with the August 3rd start to practice. Can you give any update on the start of practice and where you think fall sports are heading?
I will give you this update, and that is that tomorrow in this facility, in this conference room, we will have an update on sports, and specifically contact sports for the fall. And that will include, of course, cheerleading. It will include volleyball as well as football. And we will have a discussion of that tomorrow and some information that we want to provide as the direction we'll be going. I was waiting for Jay to ask this. I'm glad you beat him to it. All right, let's go remotely here just to see if there's anything. Leslie. Yeah.
I have a question for Dr. Romero.
All right.
This morning, Dr. Romero, you had a meeting with school administrators by Zoom, and I wondered what your advice to them was and what you all talked about, whether or not it was safe to open on the 24th.
And this is Acting Health Secretary Dr.
Sorry,
Jose
Romero. I missed the last part of your question on the 24th.
Whether or not it was safe to open on the 24th.
The discussion was wide ranging, from issues of contact tracing to testing to isolation. The questions were all very well thought out, and we talked about sports, when we would start. So rather than get into all of these issues, school is going to start as stated in the 24th. We discussed that this is clearly a moving target, that as the date approaches, we will be able to give them more concrete information about the prevalence of the disease in their areas. We will be answering some of their questions specifically. I think they asked some very good questions about whether certain individuals within the school could be considered essential workers. And that is very true. So, for example, food handlers, the members of the cafeteria? And could they be covered under issues of essential workers returning to work if exposed? And I think those are all very good questions. There is a possibility now that we're getting more point-of-care testing, that we could set point-of-care testing at a central area, which allows the schools to use them, maybe not necessarily at a school, but at a healthcare facility. I think the government may talk more about this in the future. So wide-ranging topics, some answers definitively, many of the answers, we will get them information.
So the answer about August 24th is that it's for now that's right, it could change.
I am not the person to ask, it is the governor. But I would not dare change the date. That is not my job.
We're starting school the week of August 24th, as we've previously indicated, and that resolve really has been strengthened by my visits around the state and recognizing the commitment of parents, the desire of students, and really the commitment of teachers as well. And there's obviously nervousness about it, there's uncertainty, and that's just the natural part of whether it's state workers returning or whether it's other factory workers that are going to work. There's in this environment clearly nervousness about it, and we want to make it as safe and healthy as we can, and those are the steps we're going to be taking between now and August 24th, but that's the week that we plan on starting school. Any other questions?
Yeah, Governor, I want to ask you to respond.
Yes,
the President's tweet this morning suggesting the states might need to delay the election. You confident that Arkansas can hold the election securely, and what are your thoughts about the president suggesting a delay?
I think we need to have the election as scheduled. We'll be ready for it in Arkansas, see no reason for delay, and it's obviously important from a constitutional standpoint. And then we have them remotely now. I think we must have had a glitch there, but go ahead and take a question remotely.
Yes, Governor. Just curious, several worship groups are planning an all-day worship concert tomorrow in Silent Springs in an outside venue. They're trying to get a permit through the state health department to allow up to 1,300 attendees, but we're hearing that the Department of Health can't approve nor deny the permit because of your exception for places of worship. So does that apply to this event, and do you have any concerns?
Well, I mean, first of all, even though we give guidance to churches and not edicts to churches, I appreciate the church running a plan by the Department of Health, and we would certainly want to be helpful to them in terms of making sure they have a plan that is safe for everybody that might attend. And Dr. Romero, did you have anything else on that? We will specifically look into that now that you raised that and make sure we're as helpful as we can be.
Hey, Governor, this is Andrew Epperson from KNWA here. I just wanted to ask about Tyson's initiative that they rolled out here for some new testing plans. Wanted to see if you could give your thoughts on that.
And those are new testing plans by who?
By Tyson in their plants.
Oh, absolutely. I actually got that information from Dr. Romero that Tyson's wants to test on a regular fashion their employees and staff, and we applaud them for that more aggressive testing investment. That costs money, and we applaud them for it. We're very supportive of it. And speaking of that, there was a question asked about the cost of the antigen test, and Stephanie Williams, our chief of staff, informed me that the information we have, it's around $95. And then the question is that covered by insurance? How's that reimbursed? We're still having to look at that. There's a lot of uncertainty on that part of it. So that cost issue is a challenge for many people on that, but it's an option for individuals.
Currently out of pocket right now?
There might be some insurance that cover it, but I'm not. I think there's some discrepancies depending on the company.
My question is about tax-free weekend. Last year there was an effort that failed to get electronics on the list of items that were exempt from the sales tax. What are your thoughts on that idea, especially with more and more reliance on students using electronics for learning?
Well, so the question is about the sales tax exemption for back to school day applying to electronic as well as in-store sales. And the answer is that is fixed by legislation, and so there'd have to be a legislative change to that. And I think part of the motivation for that is to get people to buy from their local merchants. And so that would have to be looked at more broadly by the legislature, but for this year, we'd have to certainly be following the law on that. I'd have to look at it more. Would not necessarily support that because I think a lot of it depends upon now you buy electronically, you are supporting your local merchants because they're also selling online. So I think we have to look at that a little bit as to how that impacts our local stores, both online and in terms of their in-store sales. Let's do another one remotely. Was there anything else there? I should just say any questions anywhere. We're about to.
I guess just to clarify, this may be more for Joe here. Has ACI tried posting every community that has a case now, active and otherwise? Even below 10, I thought I heard you say we're posting even if they have one.
This is Dr. Joe Thompson, President, CEO of
ACI. We have a threshold of 10 for us to give an absolute number. So everybody that has over 10, over 100 communities, we will give the number of active individuals in those communities. We'll list a number of other communities that have less than 10, but not the number for those communities.
With that, that's the last word. So we'll expect a few people be interested in tomorrow and look forward to further comments then. Thank you very much.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief rundown, we heard the state saw 791 new cases today for a total of 41,559. We saw a decrease, actually, in hospitalizations due to COVID-19. That decreased by 4 to 504, and we did see an additional 8 deaths from that disease for a total of 442. As of today, the state has 6,580 active COVID-19 cases, and we heard today health officials essentially waiving a requirement that patients who choose to undergo elective surgery get a COVID-19 test within, I believe it's 72 hours. We heard within 72 hours before the procedure, and of course, if they are positive, they cannot get the procedure. We heard Dr. Jose Romero, the state's acting health secretary, say that is no longer a requirement, but that will be up to individual clinicians and institutions to still require that. And again, you have been listening to the Governor's Daily Coronavirus Briefing. This is 89.1 KYR. Again, 791 new cases for a total of 41,559 today. You're listening to KYR News.